Hello, my friends, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 22nd day of August. Glad you're with me today. It is Sunday, the Lord's Day. Every day, by the way, is the Lord's Day. We get that phrase, the Lord's Day, from the New Testament, where the early church began to refer to the day after Jewish Sabbath as the Lord's Day because it was Resurrection Day. It was the day that Jesus comes out of the tomb and thus becomes the first day of a new creation. Also, the eighth day of the week becomes the first day of the next week. Thus, the Lord's Day. When we say, this is the day that the Lord has made, I'll rejoice and be glad in it. Technically, to me, that's whatever this day is. And therefore, that becomes the Lord's Day because in a new creation world, we're always facing the possibility of new creation. It is our great gift as new creation people. In Genesis 3:22, a text that we were in yesterday, we're in again today, it's at the end of the verse, God says that he's going to take Adam and Eve out of the garden because he doesn't want them to reach forth their hand and eat from the tree of life and live forever. And I talked about the temporal nature of life yesterday and why that's Genesis story. It helps us to really process that temporal nature. But I tell you, I want to talk a little bit more about eternity today. It's one of my favorite topics, and here's why. Because eternity is not something we have to try and explain through the lens of time, and yet it's all that we do. We think about eternity, and we think, oh, live forever, nothing ends, no clock. But eternity exists outside of time. It's not something defined by time. In fact, probably the most shallow way to define it is to cheapen it to some kind of time-bound definition, like, oh, it lasts forever. That's not really what the Bible's trying to convey in most places when it talks about eternal. Whenever you get to the New Testament, Jesus defines it for us, and this is really a no-brainer, but Jesus does it better than anybody else. What I mean by no-brainer is, what does Jesus not do better than anybody else? But one of my favorite moments of understanding the eternal comes in John 17:3. This is in that trifold prayer of Jesus where he's praying for himself and then his disciples and then us. In John 17:3, he says, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." So by Jesus' definition, eternal life is to know God and to know Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ is, of course, the anointed Savior. But for us in New Covenant terms, that's the resurrected man. So eternal life is to know God through Jesus. It's to have a relational experience with the Father. Because three chapters earlier, Jesus said that he was the way and the truth and the life, and that no man can come to the Father except by him. And so understanding God as Father comes by knowing Jesus as Son, and by Jesus' definition, that is eternal life. That's what it means. So if you take the New Testament idea of eternal, and you plug that into the Genesis 3:22 account of God not wanting Adam to put his hand forth and eat from the tree lest he live forever, seems to be a time-bound statement in Genesis 3 because we're talking to time-bound people like Adam and Eve. And truly, the narrative is to humanity. And humanity reads it as, here's why we die, because God wouldn't want us living forever in this natural state. Then you get to the New Testament, and eternity isn't talked about through those time-bound statements, but talked about through relational statements, which is, that they may know you, Father, and in knowing you, they know eternal life. So when Jesus dies on Calvary, a tree, a motif that is picked up by the Apostle Paul in Galatians when he says, cursed is every man who hangs on a tree. Christ dies on a tree not only to be the curse of the law on our behalf, but also to go back to the original tree, the tree that Adam was unable to reach forth and grab, because if he did, he would grasp eternal life, live forever. Or in a New Covenant sense, if you could get to the tree where someone has died on your behalf, then you could access the life of the Eternal One. So what does Genesis 3:22 come to mean for us in New Covenant terms? It means, I think, Christ dies on a tree. He dies as the cursed serpent. He dies with our sins in him. And then for all who reach forth to eat the fruit of that tree, to take what Jesus offers us, we receive eternal life. Not non-time-bound, or not, I'm sorry, not time-bound living forever in the physical man. No. We receive the life that Jesus prayed for in John 17:3. We get what he had. Glorify me together, he says two verses later in John 17:5. Glorify me together with you. That's with his Father. With the glory that I had with you before the world was. In other words, take me back, Father, to that place where I shared with you in glory. Well, where is that? That's back to our creative act. And so here is Jesus saying to his disciples, saying to us through John 17, you can have the life that I experience with my Father. You can have that. Why? Because someone has went to the tree for us. Now, when we move into the next segment with the sword over the tree, we're going to find out why that tree needs to be the cross. Not that it is the cross to someone reading it for the first time in Genesis 3, but to us on the other side of the cross. Why it being the cross becomes an absolutely essential part of our theology. Because all of us are experiencing, and I don't mean about to experience, but are experiencing the eternal. We've got to tap into that which makes Christ Christ, that resurrected reality. Because one of the beautiful things, and we don't acknowledge it enough, and we should, but one of the beautiful things about who we are as believers is we are the ever unfolding possibility of new creation. This is transformation happening slowly but surely in all of us. The promise that we don't have to be what we were yesterday, but we get to be what he says we are, or what we could be. And it's because we now do get to reach out and grab that tree. So I encourage you, reach out and grab that tree. How? Faith in who he is and what he has done. More on that tree tomorrow. God bless.